foot six above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take it to another mental level. Low power frequency, radio modulation. The big sound from underground. We bring the truth to places truth is never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the...
And welcome to this special Memorial Day edition of A Public Affair. I'm your host, John Quinlan. Very pleased to have in studio with us some youth and adult mentors representing Proud Theater. And let's give each other, let's give a round of applause for, don't often have a studio audience, so this is really nice. And we're going to be hearing in just a moment about their culminating annual performance that's coming up this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Also an appearance that they're doing in conjunction with other Proud Theater troops, which is a story in itself. And that'll be happening at Milwaukee Pride Fest on June 8th. And I just want to get a little bit of a flavor. It's been a while since we've had some of you all in the studio, just to remind folks of the treasure that is Proud Theater and all the wonderful things that are accomplished. I think you all, of course, know what you get out of it, but speaking as an audience member, also just the richness that this brings to our community. So looking forward to conversation with five representatives here from Proud Theater coming up in just a couple minutes. We wanted to start out with a short interview, though, to let you folks know about another outstanding event, kind of LGBT or queer theater related, and that's coming up later this week. It's a fascinating project. It's essentially a play or a reading of a screenplay, rather, something called The Bachelors, which is the story of two gay men who lived in 1930s Mineral Point, were civic leaders, led the way for historic preservation in a city that that has a rich history, and just a fascinating story. Both on Wednesday of this week and also on Sunday, there will be chances in Chicago and Mineral Point, respectively, for folks to see these readings and to hear more about this work in progress. And joining us on the line is one of the co-authors of The Bachelors screenplay, and that's Martha Meyer joining us from down in Evanston, Illinois. Martha, are you there?
Yes, thanks, John. It's great to be talking to your listening audience.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here. I've had a chance to read a little bit more about the background and all this. It's very exciting. I think one of the things we discovered is a shared passion for a book that came out a few years ago called The Passion to Preserve, and it kind of set out there this notion that gay men are often people in a community that sort of embrace the sacred. They have this tradition of renewing and vitalizing, you know, things that have been in a community for many, many years. And that's really reflective of the two gentlemen who are the subject of this play.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellam were in what we would call, now looking back at the 1930s, in a gay marriage hiding in plain sight.
Uh-huh.
And the results of that marriage, it became the source of the transformation of the entire community from a zinc and lead mining town to a beautiful, thriving arts community that supports its historic preservation beautifully. So it's amazing to see what a kind of change these two gentlemen had on their town, and what gay marriage, in a long-term gay marriage that was healthy and strong, what does that do for the community in which it's situated?
It's ironic reading about this in the Windy City Times, the LGBT paper down there, how you and your husband came upon the who's your co-author, came along the subject matter for this. You were up in Wisconsin for your honeymoon, right?
Yes, we were honeymooning, and we were at the beautiful Spring Green American Players Theater, and we were watching A Winter's Tale, which is a horrifying adultery play, and then we toured Telliaison, which at that time was sort of celebrating the relationship between Frank Lloyd Wright and Oak Park housewife that he stole away from one of his customers and sequestered her up in Telliaison, and then, of course, she was murdered after that. So it was another horrific tale of adultery, and we were desperate for a love story on our honeymoon.
So you went to the gay community,
and
of course.
We toured Pendarvis Historic Site, which is the beautiful sequence of buildings that Bob and Edgar were able to preserve, and learned all about lead mining in early Wisconsin before it became a state. But at the edge of the conversation was always the gentleman that had preserved these two buildings, and it was that story that really enticed us and really made us feel as if we had found our love story.
Martha, I was a little bit confused because there's a bunch of kind of terms floating around here. One is screenplay. Also, I think the performances that are happening this week are readings. Could you put all that in perspective? Is this, in fact, a work in progress that's leading to a film? Or
this is a work in progress that may lead to a film or may be translated into a stage play.
Okay.
The reason we originally wrote it as a screenplay was because of the beautiful homes. There are three different homes featured in this work. Each of them has been through historic preservation, and we felt that would be very difficult to convey on a stage. However, having seen the screenplay being read live by actors from Pride Films and Plays in Chicago, we have changed our mind, and we do feel it would be an excellent stage play, where that, rather than the houses being so front and center, that we would focus more on the relationship between the two men. But right now it's in screenplay format, and the readings the first reading in January was originally just to get a sense for Rick and I of what real actors would do with the lines that we had written, to see how we might want to revise it to submit to a screenplay competition. And it was so popular and so many people came, it was standing room only, and we had to turn folks away, that we began to realize that there was a stage value to this piece as well. So right now it's in screenplay format, and it's they use a fancy term for it, an enhanced stage reading, and it means excuse me, the gentlemen are the actors are on stage, they have their books open, so it is a reading, but they are doing a lot of movement and blocking, there's a few props, so it gives you a sense of what the movie might look like if it were made into a movie, or what the stage play would look like if it were performed as a true stage play.
And folks can get a sense of that. I think there's a link to a YouTube video on your Facebook page, just at facebook.com/thebachelorsscreenplay. And it is kind of interesting just to watch something that's sort of a hybrid of a bunch of different media, and you know, it retains again those stage directions and everything.
Yeah, I was so pleased with how Pride Films and Plays actors were doing with this.
Yeah.
They're beautiful young actors, and they're really talented. And we feel as if we've learned a lot about the characters from watching their work.
Well, because this is a work in progress, we'll hope to bring you back later, maybe in the summer or some other time, to talk about this at greater length. I'd love to bring you on with Will Fellows.
That would be great.
And again, his book, A Passion to Preserve Gay Men as Keepers of Culture, tells
the
story.
He was a major source of information and support for us while we were writing this particular piece.
Absolutely.
Let's repeat the two opportunities folks have
to see the
Bachelor screenplay in performance.
I wanted one at a time if we could. So on Wednesday, I told you, I think there are folks probably who may be listening, who at least have friends in Chicago, or might be interested in going down themselves. And so this is on Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday the 29th, that's 2 days from today, at 7 p.m. at Stage 773, which is the former Bailiwick Theater in Chicago, at 1225 West Belmont. That's at 7 p.m. again.
And then what I wanted to punctuate was the special aspect of the performance in Mineral Point, because as we noted, this is actually where this story played itself out, and this is going to be happening in a beautiful restored theater. Again, tell us the time and a little more of the details behind that showing.
Yes, we were so grateful to be invited to Mineral Point by Ainsley Anderson of the Alley Stage, beautiful theater down there, outdoor theater. This is not going to be performed there, though. In a nod to its historic importance, we're going to be at the historic Mineral Point Opera House,
which was
of course standing, and something that Bob and Edgar would have seen every day on their way to and from the hardware store. It's the performance is this coming Sunday, June 2nd, at 2 p.m. at the Mineral Point Opera House. That's right on High Street, right in the center of beautiful historic Mineral Point. So they are waiting with open arms to welcome folks from Madison to come down and see this piece, as well as from the surrounding area of Wisconsin. And so we'll be there, too. We'll be looking for you all.
I know this is probably speculation at this point as the project advances, but I saw something on Facebook, the notion that you might be coming to Madison, or there may be other performances that lay ahead.
There are a number of folks in Madison who have we've been in contact with who are very interested in bringing it to Madison. We don't have any details yet as to what stage that will be in or what will, that would look like if it came. But we're Madison and Milwaukee both are places that we would love to take this story. It is a homegrown Wisconsin story that the entire nation needs right now. So we're all grateful, and we should all be grateful to Wisconsin for the story of these two men.
And Martha, you just mentioned, had you been here, you would have enjoyed having the chance to meet the folks from Proud Theater here. We hope you will come up, and I think you probably have some sense that there's a lot going on here in terms of the LGBT community in theater.
Well, if I had the opportunity to drive up to Madison, I would love to sit down to coffee with your guests that are just about to come on.
All right.
They sound fabulous.
We'll see if we can arrange that in months to come here. And again, but best of luck with all of this.
Thank you.
Just in case someone didn't have a pencil before, let's give just the bare basics. Wednesday, what's the location and time?
It's May 29th, 7 p.m., stage 773 in Chicago, downtown Chicago. And then on Sunday, June 2nd, 2 p.m., Mineral Point Opera House on High Street in Mineral Point, Wisconsin.
All right. Martha Meyer, once again, is the co-author of The Bachelor's Screenplay. It's a story about two pioneering gay men, a couple that were together for 40 years, going back to the Depression era in Mineral Point. Fascinating opportunity. And as I mentioned, of course, you were kind enough to schedule your performances on Wednesday and Sunday, which neatly bracket Proud Theater in between, so people don't have to choose.
That's right. Let's celebrate gay theater.
Okay. Hey, Martha, thanks so much. All right. Take care. Talk to you soon, I hope.
Bye-bye.
And once again, for those of you who are just joining us, this is a special Memorial Day, Monday, May 27th edition of A Public Affair. I'm your host, John Quinlan. And one of the opportunities that that having the show here on a holiday affords us is being able to have high school age youth from Proud Theater in studio with us. And so we're really pleased to have three of the youth that drive this important program here with us, along with two of the adult mentors. Joining us today is Adrian Connor. He's the youth music director for Proud Theater. Emily Patek-Pressman, she's the youth artistic member of the youth artistic committee, and Taylor Smith, who's youth artistic director. Also joined by Brian Wild, now has a couple of different roles. He's executive director of the larger Proud Theater Group, which includes two new chapters in Milwaukee and Wausau, as well as Madison, and the artistic director of the Madison Troupe. Sol Kelly Jones, she's an adult mentor, a trainer, and she was one of the co-founders of Proud Theater back at when she was 13, and when Brian's partner in both theater and life, Callan Hardy, also was there to help lead the way in getting that group started. Sol, maybe that's a natural place to start, if we could. So you are 26 now, and this was started when you were 13. What were some of the things that were happening in your life, or what were some things that were happening in Madison that were motivation for you to reach out and to decide that a group like this was needed?
Well, that's a great question, John, and it's so exciting to be here today. We are honored to be on this fabulous radio show here in our home of Madison. And at the time Proud Theater was formed, it really came out of the need for a place for young people and adults to come together and share our stories. I was both a young person deeply passionate about activism and working on LGBTQ activism in our community, as well as other social and economic justice issues, but also equally passionate about theater and making change, and found the power of stories, the power of personal stories that could be profoundly transformative. It was a time where there weren't a lot of places for young queer youth. There weren't a lot of places where we saw images or stories of ourselves or our families. So to create a space where, in our own words, we could shape stories, we could shape theater, we could create original work and not only empower ourselves, but also share those with the larger community to educate, to create change. So at 13, I approached Callan Hardy, who was a local playwright and an activist in his own right, to come together and see if we could form this radical new project, something that was really youth-led and driven, a collaboration from the beginning, you know, looking at different ways of arranging power that were non-hierarchical, that weren't like a lot of other theater groups we saw, that was queer to its core. So looking at all of the theater and the art we were creating coming out of process with each other, coming out of that really exciting, dynamic space of sharing stories, the dynamic space of improv, the dynamic space of really sharing the pain and the joy, the horror we saw in the world, and the real beauty that comes from a truly queer space.
One of the ways that I think you're different than some of the theater troupes, youth theater troupes across the country, whether they're queer theater or just, you know, youth-centered projects, is the fact that these are original works that you all come up with, as you mentioned, using improv techniques. You get together on a Wednesday night, and anyway, could you describe that process and why that adds an extra dimension to what you do?
Absolutely. So I can forget after 13 years of doing this how different it still is. It was a radical idea at the time, and I think it still is a radical idea. So the idea that everything we do in Proud Theater has not been done before. Actually, every single year. So the show you will be seeing on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Regina Black Box Theater at Edgewood College.
New location, so folks need
new
to
new location, okay. A wonderful space, is all original work. And it's not just original work in our community. It's original work created this year.
Yeah.
So that means every week coming together with our fabulous adult mentors who are LGBT and allied folks in the community who are artists all in our own right as well, and youth workers coming in a facilitative way with young people and youth, LGBTQ and allied youth and youth from LGBT families around the Madison and surrounding areas. We come together and through our process, we have a process of sharing stories, of sharing ideas, of talking about what's going on in young people's lives. We want it to be fresh. We want it to be raw. We want it to be interesting. We don't want something you've seen before anywhere else. We don't take scripts from outside. We create and we write together.
Yeah.
So it's writing literally out of young people's stories. Then together as a group, we rework those stories. We do improvisation. We do theater. We give feedback. We rework it. We collaborate. And then we perform those works.
We'll definitely go around the table in just a second, but I want to start with the two of you, and then we'll make sure give youth plenty of time for the rest. But one of the things I just wanted to explore with you briefly is where your own career in drama has taken you, and it intersects with your concern about social justice, and I think your concern also about young people that for various reasons might have been defined to be the other, or who are living in occupied places or places with a lot of trauma. So we can reflect back. You did a play a few years ago through Broome Street about young people living along the U.S.-Mexican border in Palestine and refugee camps. And I know at the time, in both those places, you were able to use dramatic techniques to kind of achieve catharsis, healing.
Absolutely.
Is that resonant with some of what still happens here at Proud Theater?
Oh, it certainly is. So as Proud Theater, we don't just see ourselves as a youth theater group.
Yeah.
We see ourselves also as a youth leadership and empowerment organization of really seeing young people, again, in their own words, being able to narrate their lives, but also that our process itself is radical and is as important as the product. As you will see this weekend, we also make incredibly good art that will move you and shake you and rouse you and is really passionate and I think better than things you'll see anywhere. It's really amazing quality artwork. However, at the same time, the process itself, I think, is profoundly cathartic. There's something radical and transformative, both internally and in creating community, of performing one's own stories, of performing real work, of transcending that, of being able to be in your own shoes and others' shoes, of working out those stories and creating change inside ourselves and in our community, as well as educating others. So in my own work and my own background and training is really using theater as a tool, both for trauma intervention, for social change, and for, you know, transformation in our world as well. And so my work has brought me, you know, to various different Madison communities, to places internationally of working from the occupied Palestinian territories to the U.S.-Mexico border, and really looking at the power of story, the power of providing platform for voices that have been marginalized and silenced.
Yeah.
I think we find for young people in general, youth's voices aren't heard, are often pushed out to the corners. Looking at queer youth, looking at youth who are economically poor, young people of color, migrant youth, immigrant youth, women. You know, we look at the issues in Proud Theater. We take on our queer issues. We think everything we do is radically queer. And we're also taking on racism. We're also looking at transphobia, even within queer communities. We're looking at the intersections between youth's multiple identities. One thing we always talk about at Proud Theater is bringing your whole self to the project, bringing all of who we are as people, all of who we are as artists, and nurturing that.
All right. For those of you who are just joining us in midstream, again, we were talking for the remainder of the hour about Proud Theater. Proudtheater.org is a place where you can find out more. As Sol Kelly Jones, who is one of the co-founders of this group, has just alluded to, this is a week in which the annual culminating performances are occurring. They're on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Each has an evening performance at 7:30. There's also a matinee at 2 p.m. on Saturday. And this is all happening in the Black Box Theater. Brian, I'm like, you should maybe fill in further details about kind of where that is and how people can find it.
It's Regina Theater at Edgewood College.
Okay.
And the theater space is, if you go into the campus and basically go as far back as you can and then take a right and go as far back to the right, you will find the brand new Stream building with a brand new state-of-the-art theater, which we are absolutely honored to be working in right now. It took us a little longer to set light cues last night because we have choices in lights and gobos and all sorts of wonderful fun things. So
wow.
We're very, very excited by the technology we get to use for this show this year.
Well, that's maybe symbolic. You're taking things to a new level. You know, here Sol was telling us about those early days and what got you started. Can you take us to the here and now and some of the recent developments that are exciting in terms of the expansion to this program, where you may see it going? One of the things, of course, is that no longer just a Madison-based group. We're operating in other cities in Wisconsin now.
Yeah, when I became artistic director in 2004, I had come in sort of with an idea that this group and watching the power of the youth and watching Sol and Callan develop this in the early days, I really realized that this was something that needed to be taken to places outside of Madison. For all intents and purposes, Madison, we do a lot of preaching to the choir here, but you get into a community like Wausau, which generally has pretty conservative roots. You get into the Milwaukee area, which has other challenges that affect the LGBTQ, I, and allied communities. And you really realize that there are so many different stories that can be told from all these different communities and so many different combinations. It's like strands of DNA of LGBTQ people getting together and creating new art in cities based on the needs of the community. So back in 2011, after quite a bit of work, we got Proud Theater Wausau launched. And we started off small. We had six youth, and then after the first show, they suddenly grew to nearly 20 people in Wausau, which is, to me, which is my hometown. This was a shocking development because I realized as we were working up there, things had changed obviously since I was a youth there, but not that much. It was basically something that I was shocked to see so many youth coming out of the woodwork. So this year they have 20. Proud Theater Milwaukee, we just launched in April, and right now we're starting out small, but we have a real feeling that after we perform at Pride, that may be a launching pad for Proud Theater Milwaukee to grow exponentially too. So
mentioning that performance at Pride that's happening up on, I think, Saturday, June 8th, is that right?
That is correct. There's three shows. There's a 1 o'clock show, a 2 o'clock show, and a 4 o'clock show.
And this is at the LGBT Community Center? Is that, or?
It's the LGBT Community Center stage.
Okay, stage at Pride Fest itself.
That is correct.
Okay. But no, that's really, is the first time that the three groups have come together in this way?
Yes, that's also been a sub-dream of mine, not only to start other Proud Theaters around the state, but to also really bring them together in some sort of culminating annual performance. And this will be the first of what I am really hoping is going to be many annual performances and hopefully turn into a convention of Proud Theaters as we grow across the state and hopefully around the country.
No, that's very exciting. And Wausau is one of the places I grew up, too. So it's really, really neat for me to see that change. Just had a chance recently to reunite with a friend that I had been convinced for many years was probably gay, and confirming that he worked for Martha Stewart and a few other places in New York. I just sort of confirmed that now. But anyway, yeah, there definitely are gay people, and there always have been in Wausau. Boy, what a wonderful thing, a gift for that community to have that coming back. In the venue that you perform at there, in part, or that you're using, is the Unitarian congregation?
Yeah, that's correct.
And that, of course, here in Madison, one of those congregations has also been very helpful.
Yeah, we rehearse throughout the school year at James Reeb here in Madison, and sometimes we rehearse in all sorts of strange places too, depending on if we need to rehearse where we're not able to get into James Reeb. We find ourselves in fields, and we find ourselves in basements, and we find ourselves wherever we can rehearse because we're passionate about what we do. And to be quite frank, we not only believe in social justice that we're working, but we also believe in quality theater, good, strong art, good, strong writing, good, strong directing, technical, the whole package. So we rehearse so much that we want to just bring everyone the best show we possibly can.
Okay. Once again, for those of you just joining us, again, this is a public affair here on WORT. I'm your host, John Quinlan, and we'll be talking about Proud Theater for the remainder of the next half hour. Just heard from Sol Kelly Jones and Brian Wild, who are two of the longtime adult leaders of this group. And now we want to go to the other end of the table and hear some from some of the youth who are currently involved. Adrian Connor is the youth music director. Adrian, I want to find out just a minute more about kind of what got you started and got you involved with Proud Theater. But one of the things we should mention is that music is also a really important part of what you all do. Is that going to be a part of the performances that are happening later this week?
Yes, we have, I think, 3 musical pieces this year. Actually, every single one is done in part by one of the 3 people here.
Okay.
Yeah, so, no, we usually do have music in the show. I think music is, it's, we usually have less musical pieces than theatrical pieces, but
yeah.
They're a lot of fun, and there's a lot that you can get out in music that you can't even get out in a theatrical piece, and so it really touches on another side of things that maybe some of the other stuff doesn't, and so I think the musical pieces that we do are very, very important.
All right. Well, do you mind just sharing a little bit of your own story, how you first heard about Thread Theater and what it is that you get out of it?
Sure. So let's see. My good childhood friend who has two mothers, his family had been going to Proud Theater shows for a couple of years. And when I was in 6th grade, they brought me along, and we got out of the theater and we're like, that was so cool. and we were too young to join. We were only like 12 or 13. 12, yeah. And then as soon as we could join, which is when we were in 8th grade, we did. And it was kind of scary because we were 13, and and most of the people that year were seniors in high school, so were these these two little kids basically coming in. But it was such a transformative experience just that first year. Previous to joining Proud Theater, I was extremely quiet, very, very introverted, and I kind of for the first time was in a environment that. That was encouraging to me speaking, basically, and encouraging to me writing. And I had written a little bit before Proud Theater, and I wrote, I think I just wrote one thing for that first show, but I sent it in, and one of the mentors, I can't remember which one it was, came up to me and was like, "This is really good." And I'm like, "You think so? Really?" And it was just so cool, because it was... like Sol was talking about earlier, there's something so incredibly powerful to seeing your work performed on stage, seeing something that you've written from your own experiences performed for an audience that's laughing and crying and clapping for that. And it's just so transformative.
It is maybe unfair so many years later, but do you remember any of the details of the piece, what it was about?
Yeah, it was about basically having a crush on someone in middle school, and it was It was, yeah, it was a, it was kind of lighthearted, kind of a mix of that, that learning how to, it was a bit of a humorous piece, but it was also a bit of a, exploring the pain that, you know, younger kids can feel.
Yeah.
I think that gets ignored sometimes because, you know, there's a lot of mentality that they kind of hold that, you know, because it's smaller things, you shouldn't care about them as much. But smaller things for, I guess, smaller people can really hurt sometimes.
Well,
so.
But you know, the whole notion of unrequited love, you know, is I think especially difficult sometimes for some of us because you know, not only we have the usual questions about does this person care about me or anything, but we're not even sure what their inclination, their orientation
yeah.
is or whatever.
Yeah.
So you know, that adds something else to it too.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Let's move around the table if we could and. Our next guest that we want to introduce is Emily Patek-Pressman. She's the youth member of the youth artistic committee. Am I also a youth co-director, artistic co-director?
No,
or?
No. There are a whole bunch of people.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Wasn't sure. But anyway, someone who's been very involved. And could you just share a little bit about what drew you into Pratt Theater? What you're getting out of it?
Yeah, like Adrian, I had been to the show a number of times before actually joining. And I have two lesbian moms, and so they would take me as just a kind of, like, thing that queer families do together. They go to see Pratt Theater shows.
It's definitely true.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for me, the shows were always incredibly moving, but for me it was actually kind of a nerve-wracking experience to go to these shows because at the time I was questioning my own sexual orientation and was not open to anybody about that. And so seeing these youth so, like, firm and proud in themselves and grounded and, like, me being very confused was... it brought a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so when I actually did eventually come out and decide to join Proud Theater as sort of switch that around, it was really powerful.
Yeah.
Being able to, the year after coming out, being able to talk to other youth who are going through similar things, just sort of build my own sense of security in who I am, was really important in my personal coming out story.
We were just mentioning, and I guess all three of you are involved in some ways with some of the musical aspects of this. Could you talk about maybe some of what's happening in this year's performance? I mean, maybe also just draw on some of what your other favorite experience has been in terms of contributing to a piece and seeing it being realized.
Yeah. Well, last year, actually, there are always a lot of, like I said, people who have queer parents who are in Proud Theater. And so last year, all of the people who we can call ourselves gabies, people who have
That's right.
two moms or two dads or queer parents. And so we got together and we wrote a piece together. And it was sort of about what it's like to come out to queer parents, which is actually very challenging. You would think that it would be very easy because you don't have to worry about being thrown out of your house or anything like that. But there's still, because of the society we live in, so many pressures about who you are and identity that was still challenging. And so we got together and we wrote that piece. And it was really great. And then I think what I enjoyed the most about that was performing it and hearing all of our parents laughing throughout the entire time. Things yeah. that they know happened in real life. But also the music that's happening this year, Adrian is the youth music director. And so he wrote a really amazing song that a lot of people are singing on together, which I think is really cool. All finding like our own different place in terms of how to sing it and fitting together, I think, really sort of exemplifies the community that Proud Theater can bring together, people who are on all different levels of musicality, but just coming together and really making something beautiful.
You're touching on something that you know just heard over and over again is really intrinsic to Proud Theater, and some of that is just those individual voices being able to express themselves in that sense, but also collectively with other folks. But you know, also that Proud Theater, as his soul is alluding to, isn't so much of a hierarchy. We're only certain folks, the stars, you know, you think of the TV series Glee, I mean, the Rachels, you know, aren't the only ones who get, you know, the performance space. But, you know, is that true of Proud Theater, and why do you think that's important?
Yeah, definitely. Proud Theater is, we don't turn anyone away. Anyone can join. There's no audition to get into it. And that's, like, a really, I think, like Sol was talking about, a really important part of it. And so that creates, a sense that everyone is important and talented. And really, everyone who is in Proud Theater is incredibly talented, even though there's no audition, because, everyone is. And Proud Theater gives, like, the opportunity for people to, like, nurture that in themselves and find that.
Yeah. Well, let's move the microphone over to our third guest coming from the youth perspective, Taylor Smith. He's the Youth Artistic Director. I just also want to mention, for any folks who are listening, if any of you are out there, especially members of Proud Theater, past, present, or future, or audience members who want to talk about significance in the community, 608-256-2001 is the number where you can join in. But Taylor, again, as we mentioned, you're Youth Artistic Director. You've heard us reflecting on some of this. Could you maybe just start with, again, what your perspective is, what drew you in, and maybe some highlights of what your experience has been like?
Yeah, certainly. So how I got into Proud Theater was my friend inviting me there. We were both, like, queer-identified, and I had nothing to do with activism. I had nothing to do with, like, I guess anything else queer. Like, I was just in my own world with it, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, well, this is it. Like, I'm just in my own box. But I got into Proud Theater, and I didn't necessarily, like, I only wrote on a few pieces. I was only, like, my foot in the door of Proud Theater, I think. But I did get to participate in a lot of other things and a lot of other pieces, and I think that's super important. Like, so you don't have to necessarily write on everything. You don't have to necessarily contribute to everything, but you are still a part of it. And I thought that was really beautiful, and I think I came out of that completely different and changed, and I saw things in a new light, and that made me want to come back. Uh-huh. And so I think this year I really got to work, and I really contributed a lot more. I feel like I've done a lot, and I've grown as a performer, as a person, as an artist. And yeah, like music, I actually wrote a song for Proud Theater, and that's like a huge milestone for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome song, too.
Well, we don't want to give away too many spoilers, but can you give just a little hint about kind of what the themes are or what motivated you to write the song?
I guess it's like a love interest song.
Okay.
Yeah.
that may say it right there. Yeah. Just in terms of looking at this year's performance, once again, we've been sworn not to give away too much because we want you all to come and experience this yourself. But yeah, can you maybe tell us, are there skits or other things, again, that sort of are reflective of what you're talking about? What's attracted you to the group and, you know, that anyway stand out of your mind?
I think all of our pieces are really, really well put together by the time the show happens. Like, everything is just really intense, spot on. I guess this year I would say everything's just very intense, like,
yeah.
More so than the years that I've been in it before. There are a lot of, like, hard-hitting topics. I really think anyone can connect to them, whether they be, like, scared of this topic or, like, just having an internal connection to it, I guess.
Yeah.
I think they're all very relatable.
Well, once again, for those of you just joining us, I have to do this because sometimes people tune in every 10 minutes, they say, but again, we're talking about Proud Theater for the remainder of the hour. We do welcome your calls if you have comments, if you're someone who has shared in this experience, or either as a participant or an audience member or an adult mentor, or you just have questions about what kind of how this works in practice, give us a call at 608-256-2001. Once again, to highlight what's coming up this week, Sol, can you help me a little bit? And so the performances this week are...
Absolutely. I would love to help you out with it. So to come see these brilliant, talented LGBTQ and allied youth share their stories and their hearts and their activism on stage, please join us on Thursday night, the 30th of May at 7:30, Friday night, the 31st of May at 7:30, Saturday at
2 p.m.
2 p.m. or 2:30, rather.
2:30,
sorry.
Okay. Sorry,
and right. Saturday night at 7:30 at the Regina Black Box Theater in the new Stream Building at Edgewood College. It's a little confusing to find, but it's a fabulous facility, and we know it is worth the trek to come out and see these talented, incredible youth. Tickets are $10 at the door. All proceeds go to Proud Theater. This is a collaboratively run, incredible group, really high quality art you'll get to see and participate in. We think you'll be moved to tears. You'll definitely be laughing. You'll want to dance in your seats. And I am sure you will be inspired and really moved.
Okay. Yeah, just a tip for those of you who maybe aren't familiar with Edgewood. Again, this is out on Monroe Street, ironically within about six blocks of Camp Randall, the other big entity in that part of town. But anyway, as you enter there, if you're having a little trouble getting around, Predlin Hall is the main building that you come to off the parking lot. There's a front desk there, and folks probably can direct you. But essentially, Brian, if folks are trying to find their own way, it's sort of toward the back of things in Edgewood. Is that right?
Yep, just drive through the big black gates and go all the way to the back and then take a right, and it's the last building on campus.
And folks are encouraged probably to get advance tickets because usually these are fairly popular shows. How do they do that?
Absolutely. You can call Edgewood College, their box office number, and you can call into the and reserve tickets.
And
so to reserve tickets, you can call actually the Proud Theater hotline at 608-222-9086, or you can contact us via email at reservations@proudtheater.org, and we will put tickets on reserve for you, and then when you get there, we'll take care of all the other work that goes along with that.
Station policy precludes us from listing a price. However, we'll say that this is the ballpark is around what a good night at the movie theater will cost you. It's very reasonable, very affordable for what you're getting.
For a full night of incredible theater.
Okay.
Very worth it.
All right. Brian, let's also just, for folks who might be joining us late one more time, also an opportunity at Milwaukee Pride Fest this year coming up in a couple weeks.
Yes, all three existing Proud Theaters right now, Milwaukee, Wausau, and Madison, are going to be performing together for the first time at Milwaukee Pride Fest on Saturday, June 8th. There'll be three shows. There'll be a 1 o'clock, a 2 o'clock, and a 4 o'clock showing. And again, it'll be the first time all three Proud Theaters will be performing in a joint performance, and we're incredibly excited for that. Our show, obviously, here, Fearless Hearts, closes on the 1st, and then the 2nd, we kick into high gear, putting all three of the Proud Theater's pieces that they've been working on. And that Friday night before the show, all the Proud Theaters are getting together, and we're going to create the absolute order of the show and run it multiple times, and then Saturday we perform together,
and
we're excited.
While this is the culminating performance, this isn't the sum of what you do. Throughout the year, you all are performing a variety of venues.
Absolutely. So part of our work in Proud Theater is performing in the community, and that means from college campuses, at conferences, in churches, synagogues, different community centers. We actually recently had the real privilege of being able to perform at Spring Harbor Middle School for their entire student population. So we really see Proud Theater also as the activism we do in the community.
Okay. It's a passing note. Is this all right to convey, Brian?
Sir?
Yeah, is that information all right to convey to folks, as far as you know?
Yes, it is. I think there was some miscommunication. The Black Box Theater is no longer called the Regina Theater. It's just the Black Box Theater in the Stream Building.
Okay, at back of Edgewood College. Okay. I think, and just to follow up on Sowell, I mean, that dimension I think is really important. I mean, the educational dimension in the community. We certainly are hearing about the campaigns that are aimed at LGBT youth and other folks that are out there, but it's the rest of the community that needs to come up on kind of the reality of people's lives.
Absolutely, and we actually find through stories, through art, through theater, to be one of the most powerful tools for education. Rather than just standing and talking about an issue, to be able to see it, to be able to see this is someone's story, this is our lives. We found it to be a powerful tool, and we invite folks throughout the Madison community to invite us in these next coming years to come and perform. We also do trainings in our process. We find even though we're a theater group, we think we got a process that works pretty well of collaboration, of creation, and love to be in different spaces with educators, with mental health professionals, with community organizations, and support them in their work. Of creating really non-hierarchical collaborative processes for creation that can be really transformative for all participants.
Let me go back to the youth side of the table, and this is a hard question to gauge. It's got a couple different facets to it, but you know, for example, folks ask a woman, you know, a person who's been a leader in the Black Civil Rights Movement, you know, how far have we come and how far do we have to go? It's a really complicated thing. And I think the same thing is maybe true in terms of the realities of LGBT youth and youth in our families and other things. But you know, Connor, if you reflect back to when you were 13 and maybe the way this was playing itself out or wasn't playing itself out in terms of the national media and everything, all the attention in recent years about bullying, about needing to do something, about needing to open up things, are you encouraged by the trends that you're seeing?
That's a good question. I guess I am encouraged, definitely, by the trends I have been seeing. I think it's really, really helpful to see the amount of media coverage that has come to light, I guess, in recent years. However, I think, one of the really interesting things about the LGBT community is that it's a diverse community. I mean, it's an acronym, you know, it's not just gay people in this community. You have bi people, you have pansexual people, you have transgender people. And so there, at some fronts are definitely making progress. Other fronts are making slightly less progress, are getting slightly less attention. And although that's kind of the neat thing about the Pratt Theater shows, because the majority of our audience for our culminating show is usually very educated and open to, you know, gay rights issues, but are not necessarily educated on trans issues or on racial issues. And so it's a very, very cool tool to get people in here who already kind of have open minds, but just they need to see the experiences of some youth that maybe they haven't interacted with. And so I personally identifying as transgender, I see there's definitely a lot of large steps being taken across the country to make things better for youth.
Sometimes it can be a double-edged sword, too, because more visibility, even though there maybe it's accompanied by more understanding, but it also puts you out there in a way that makes you vulnerable to harassment and other things, too.
So. Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. Emily, do you have any thoughts on that complicated equation, I guess? Are you seeing us making progress? How does Proud Theater fit into you know, moving us in the right direction?
Yeah, I think Proud Theater plays a really big role. I'm often very frustrated by mainstream gay movement, and the focus always being on marriage, for example, which is something that, like, I personally am not interested in partaking in, and I know that for a lot of, like, queer youth, that is not the first issue that they have on their minds. Like, their first issue is having a home and having food and not being bullied when they go to school and having adults who they trust. And so for me, it's frustrating to see, especially like all of the money going into gay rights movements that aren't actually helping youth in the moment. And so Proud Theater, I think, is really incredibly helpful in seeing really their focus on queer youth and supporting what we have to do. And building leadership as well as, like, letting us share our stories with people. And I think Sol was saying before, like, change really starts when people hear stories. And so when they hear what queer youth are going through on a day-to-day basis, that really, I think, helps move the movement along in a way that a lot of other things couldn't.
Teal, if you could weigh in on that. I mean, the other thing, of course, with gay marriage suddenly breaking through and potentially Supreme Court ruling the right way and other things, you know, I think, you know, again, the mainstream media has a sense it's almost like the journey is over, you know, that we won't really have anything more to do. But I would imagine the day-to-day reality still, even in Madison schools and in other places, there's still a lot to work on here, a lot of ways we need to support young people. Is that right?
Yeah, certainly. And again, I think Proud Theater does have a really good, we have a good support system, and I think we have a good message, because not only do we cover queer things, we cover, like, racial things and, like, other just activism in general. And I think that's super important. The mainstream news is more so about, like, still binary things, still gender role things. And I think even though marriage is a great thing to, like, have, I feel like that still contributes to the gender role things. And there's, like, there's a whole spectrum of people out there who are not getting covered by a lot of things that are being I don't know, thoroughly supported, and it's still going to, like, it's always going
to
be there.
Just to touch on one of the things that you mentioned, in a couple of weeks we hope to have a guest on. Her name is Charlie Daniel, and she's a woman who has a lesbian daughter, been working in communities of color with LGBT people. The intersection sometimes of two communities is a difficult one, especially here in Madison. So if you're a member of a ethnic minority community in the LGBT community, people may not necessarily find support or understanding in those communities. Is that something you all are trying to work on?
Yes, definitely. We have a few pieces that cover racism and the merging of communities, yeah. I guess. I think that's a really big topic that we don't talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And it's definitely there, like the discrimination within communities. It does happen. It happens a lot, more than we think.
So really important to get that out there. Go ahead, Sol.
You know, one thing I think that's important to remember, I think we can talk about Madison as a progressive community and think we have it together. And I think to be reminded by young people, wow, we have made a lot of change and we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
We have young people that are just getting by, that are just surviving right now. We have youth that are really struggling, that every single day is a fight. And we have young people that want to do more than survive, but also really thrive. And that's part of our work in Proud Theater, is to carve out those spaces for voice, to be able to create a place where young people aren't just surviving, but are really thriving and are really empowered to act on their lives.
One of the changes I've seen over the years, I think, in terms of the subject matter that's dealt with, is more of an emphasis on gender, perhaps as much or equal to sexual orientation. You know, and Connor, coming back Adrian, coming back to your observations about, you know, how important this is. I don't know. Do you see? I mean, what I guess I see on stage sometimes is, of course, folks who are transgender being able to speak authentically out of that experience, but other folks realizing this is something they've got to grapple with too. Gender is a larger issue we all need to work with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see that in some of the skits you're doing. And
yeah. I think. There's definitely. We have, I think, a couple pieces this year that deal with gender and transgender issues. And I think those tend to be the pieces that, I guess, people, I think, really need to see, especially, because I know definitely after shows, those are the pieces that I get the most questions about.
Right.
Because people, because being transgender is something that is, I would say is not talked about nearly as often as talked about, you know, being gay, and so people, although maybe are supportive but just ignorant, they can see these pieces and it at least kind of it starts something, starts having them think about it a little bit more.
And Emily, I think it's just resonant with some of what you were saying, that sometimes even in the among folks who are LGBT ourselves, there's a superficiality. Sometimes we dwell on the wrong things. And in Proud Theater, you know, especially on issues of gender, I think it really does take people to a deeper place. You know, what you're talking about, Adrian, after the show, people are questioning and they're in dialogue in really interesting ways. Have you found that to be true, too?
Yeah, definitely. And I do a lot of, like, trainings within my school and stuff, and where we're sharing our stories, and I find similar experiences. But it's nothing like Proud Theater, because we really, I mean, share, like, so honestly what people are going through and a lot of issues that people aren't exposed to. Like Adrian was saying before, like, what a transgender person has to face going to school, not having a bathroom to go to, not having like a classroom that is safe, having like really invasive questions being asked to them all the time. And so being able to explore that and then also show how incredibly powerful these youth can be is really important. Proud Theater does a good job of that.
We're down to about our last minute, but Taylor, maybe give you kind of the final word. Any other thoughts, you know, on the power of Proud Theater in the here and now, or maybe where you'd like to see things go with the group, say, 10 years from now?
I think the concept of unity is the most important thing we can project to any community. Like, just the fact that everyone is human, that should just be enough for you to think about how equal we all are. I think we portray those concepts, and I think I do think that's the most important thing that we talk about.
All right. Well, I want to thank leave enough time to thank adequately all of my guests, Adrian Connor, Emily Patek-Pressman, Taylor Smith, been here talking from a youth perspective about the programs at Proud Theater, and Sol Kelly Jones and Brian Wilde also been here. Sol, why don't you pull up one more time and give us the particulars on performances that are coming up?
Absolutely. Please join us and come see the brilliance of these young people share their stories and rouse you to action. Join us at 7:30 on Thursday the 30th, 7:30 on Friday the 31st, and 2:30 or 7:30 on Saturday the 1st at the Black Box Theater at Edgewood College in the Stream Building. Tickets are available at proudtheater.org or calling our reservation line to reserve tickets. Please reserve ahead of time. We want to pack the house and come see an incredible night of really radical, transformative theater.
And once again, June 8th also at Milwaukee Pride Fest on the LGBT Community Center stage. Is that right, Brian?
That is correct. Three shows, 1 o'clock.